Good morning, everybody. How is everybody today? So glad to have you with us this morning at Crestview Baptist Church. Thank you for coming out and joining us in the congregation, and thank you to everyone who joined us online. We're just glad to have you with us. Don't forget, this week, our weekly Bible study on Wednesday at 6:30. We're just glad to have you with us. There's not a whole lot of announcements, but just know that we are here. Me, Artie, Sandra, if you need us, the deacons, reach out. We are here for you through all of this. I hope you enjoy the service this morning.
Good morning. I know this is going to be a little bit tricky, but I want to do a call to worship song on page 62. It's all the way my Savior leads me. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3. So please join us if you will, and if you're having trouble with it. The three are going to try to get carried to the God.
To spend the time with my parents down in Florida and trying to help how I could. I do ask that you continue to pray for my dad and my mom both as they continue to deal with their situation down there. I pray for my brothers and my sister as they are down there with them helping. It is difficult to be away from family when things are going on. But I am so grateful that I have a church family that I love dearly and they love me. So it makes it a lot easier knowing that I have you here. Amen. So thank you for that. Also, continue to pray for Sandra and Whitey. I talked to her last night. Her brother, they don't know what's going to happen. What they do know is that he may not come home from the hospital. But again, she is there with a church member. And she spent the night last night and will spend every night while she's there with Marilyn Shouse. And we all know Marilyn Shouse is a prayer warrior. And she is covering them in prayer right now. And we are so grateful for that. But we ask you to continue to pray for Sandra and her brother as well. The whole family is together. All the siblings are together right now there in Durham. So continue to pray for him as he starts undergoing this this chemo experimental treatment this coming Tuesday. So please remember to pray for him. Then Chad, you had two other ones that we needed to add.
Debbie Edwards,
you work with her at Burns. Okay, North Shepherd. She works with Chad in the school system. She and her husband both contracted the coronavirus, and her husband just passed away with it. So please be in prayer for the Edwards family. Yeah, they were at Elizabeth Baptist Church, and he worked with the children there and everything. And then who was the other one that you had? Lang Downs, a young little boy that's had issues since he was born, and he is. He got what? Okay, he had brain surgery and developed an infection. So please, how old is he, Chad? 6. So please be in prayer for him and his family as well. Continue to pray for the Cons and the Wessons. And pray for Scott Wicker. I don't know if everybody knows or not, but Jesse passed away this past Wednesday or Thursday, Larry. And her funeral was yesterday. So as expected, Scott is having up and down moments, so continue to pray for him. Any others before we go to the Lord in prayer? Remember to pray for our newlyweds, Paul and Robin, as they start their life together, just married last week. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. Lord, I have to confess, we have no clue what's going on right now. No matter which way we turn, we're being told different things. But, dear Lord, the one thing that we know is that you are on the throne. And, dear Lord, you know exactly what's happening. You know the causes of it. And, dear Lord, you're the only one that knows the future. Dear Lord, we ask you right now that you fill us with your presence. That you guide us through these disturbing times that we're in. That you give us the love that we need to have to deal with each other and those in the world. Dear Lord, the last sermon I preached was, by this they will know. Dear Lord, now more than ever, we need Christians to act like Christians. We need to live our lives in such a way that it reflects you so brightly. And dear Lord, I ask that you open our eyes that we can see through all the lies and deception that the enemy is throwing at us from every direction. But dear Lord, give us the humbleness to accept what is being dealt to us. And dear Lord, we give you the praise for it all. We're not perfect. We make mistakes every day. But dear Lord, you're perfect in your forgiveness and your mercy. And dear Lord, as we come before you, we lift up, first of all, our country and our state and our county and city leaders. Dear Lord, guide them, direct them. Dear Lord, you've allowed them to serve. Dear Lord, give us the respect that we need to have for them, whether or not we agree with them or like them, that you called us to submit to authority. And dear Lord, I also ask you to be with the ones that are being affected, whether in their work or actually have contracted this virus. But dear Lord, you're still in control. And you have a reason for allowing all of this to happen. Dear Lord, we also lift up the Cons and Wessons and Scott Wicker and the Edwards family as they have lost loved ones. Dear Lord, I know within this church, Don will be missed greatly. But dear Lord, we know that his faith is in you. But I ask you to be with the families and comfort them in only the way that you can. Give them the peace that only you can provide. Dear Lord, we also lift up this young man that is 6 years old and had brain surgery and has developed an infection. Dear Lord, it's hard for us to accept suffering, but when a child is afflicted, it makes it so much harder. But dear Lord, we have faith in you, and we ask you right now to touch him, to give him the strength to fight what is going on within his body. And dear Lord, we ask you flat out, heal him. Amaze the doctors with what you can do. And dear Lord, we also ask you to be with my parents and my family. Be with Sandra and her brother and her family, that we are all dealing with sickness and disease and difficulties, and our loved ones that we're not close to as far as distance. But dear Lord, we lay them in your hands right now. And we ask you to again heal, touch their bodies, strengthen them. Allow them to fight what is going on within their bodies, dear Lord, so that they may once again be whole. And dear Lord, be with our church this morning. This building is not our church, dear Lord, but it's the people that are sitting in the pews and those at home watching online. They are the church. And dear Lord, we lift them up right now. Lord, I ask you to guide me as the pastor, to give me the wisdom to know the decisions that need to be made and to be able to make them in faith as we trust in you to guide and direct us. Thank you for those that have stepped up and filled leadership roles as we have so many different things going on. But today, dear Lord, we have gathered to lift your name up, to worship you, and to praise you. Dear Lord, we ask that you receive all the honor and glory for everything that goes on here today. That as we leave here today, dear Lord, that we will be your lighthouse in our community. That they will know that we are your disciples. And we ask all of this in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
While that was going on, I had Donna Stowe's messaging me about some prayer requests. I just mentioned those real quick before I start the children's room. Her cousin, Jerry Marlowe, passed away Friday, and they are going through that, and it says that they will be back soon, and please put her brother Steve Ramsey, he's been having some strokes. So those are two more additions to the prayer list. At this time, I want you to bring, there's not a lot of kids here. I'm looking forward to a time when they're back. I feel that every week, and I mean it when I'm on. I struggle every week being away from my kids. But if you're at home, if you're, I'm going to show you something. I want you to do something during the story. I want you to get right in front of the TV. And when I do this, surprise book, I want you to say, what? Like you're really surprised. Because I'm going to tell you a story, and this story is about trusting God. So there is a guy in the Bible, and his name is Abraham. And he had a son named Isaac. Abraham and his wife Sarah were almost 100 years old when Isaac was born. So this is one of those times I got. He's supposed to say, what? Like 100 years old. Like that's really out of here. I'm going to do it again. I know, right? That's crazy. And God told Abraham that he was going to have a lot of grandchildren and great-grandchildren through his son Isaac. And Abraham was really happy. But one day, God spoke to Abraham and told him to take Isaac up on the mountain and give the thing that he loved the most, give Isaac back to God. I love he'd been praying for this for a long time. And they got him. And now God says, all right, I want you to give him back to me. And so Abraham, he packed up Isaac. And he, and they were going, they're going to make a sacrifice on the mountain. And they started up the mountain, just Abraham and Isaac. Say what? And on the third day, Abraham told Isaac they were going to build an altar. They were going to build an altar and offer a sacrifice to God. And Isaac said to his father, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the offering?" I don't know. I'm just like, what are we going to do? And Abraham said, "God will provide us a lamb." They kept walking until they arrived at the place where God had told him to go. And Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Abraham was ready to give God back what he demanded. And so at this point in the story, he gets ready to put Isaac on the altar. And then Abraham looked up, and God stopped him. And he saw a ram caught by his thorns in the thicket. God provided the sacrifice. And what this was, kids at home and kids here, he wanted to see if Abraham trusted him enough to be willing to be obedient to him. And he did. And guys, especially in this time, there's so many things going on. We have to remember that we don't put our trust in the world around us because the world around us is going to fail us. We put our trust in God. And if we put our trust in God, He will get us through this one way or the other. And that's not out of mess. That's a message not just for the kids at home, that's for everybody. So challenge you this week to trust God that He will get us through, just like He provided a sacrifice for Abraham. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the kids that are here. Thank you for the kids that are at home watching. And I just pray that as we go through these next few weeks and we move toward a new school year, that things are different around us, God, that we put our trust in you and know that, hey, God, when all else fails, everything in the world is falling apart around us. We know that you got this. And we're so thankful. Thank you for Jesus Christ dying for us and rising again on the third day. I love you and praise you, God. Amen.
Sometimes you can see God working on several different fronts at one time. Sandra Wednesday was working on getting the songs together and practiced these songs Wednesday night for today. And I started working on the sermon down in Florida. Started working on it Wednesday, finished it up Thursday, sitting at my mom and dad's dining room table. And God led Sandra to the songs that he wanted sung, and led me to the sermon that he wanted preached. And great is thy faithfulness. We need to know that so much today. In the world that we live in, and my sermon title, Enduring Hope. We need to know that there is hope for our future. Our world today is in a mess. I look out in the congregation and I see face masks. Go to the stores. You're not allowed in. We were in Gainesville, and in Gainesville, Florida, the entire county, Alachua County, the whole state's not like this, but Alachua County is, that you are not allowed inside a store without a face mask. You're not allowed inside a restaurant without a face mask. And now we're under the executive order that if we're out in public, we have to wear a face mask. We saw the highest increase in cases in North Carolina last week. Florida had the same way. In fact, I shared with many people as we were driving down 2 weeks ago on the 21st, we get to the Florida state line. And just inside the Florida state line, they had cones and everything all across the interstate, going down to a single lane. And they were routing everybody through a weigh station. It was not open at that point. It was closed that Sunday, but when we came back this past Friday, on the southbound lane of I-95, just at the Florida state line, every single vehicle was routing through that weigh station, and they were stopping every single car to see where they were coming from. And there were some people being turned around, turned away at the state line and sent back home. Even within our small county, we have people that are protesting. We have people that are angry with each other. We have violence every time you turn around. There are wars and rumors of wars. And I'm not saying when it's going to happen, but I'm telling you this, church. Jesus' return is imminent. He promised that he would come back, and every day we get closer to that day. And we need to live our life like we have hope. Hope in the face of diversity. Or adversity, not diversity, adversity. Hope in the face of sorrow. We have people here within our congregation that are dealing with the toughest thing they've ever dealt with in their life. But in the face of sickness, death, conflict, we have to have hope. And church, we will not find hope in each other. We will not find hope in politicians, because politicians will tell you what you want to hear so they will get your vote. Your hope is not in finances, but the one enduring hope is what we're going to talk about today. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 2 and 3. This is Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. And this is his first letter to that church. And this is what, how he starts his letter. In verse 2, he says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and the presence of our God and Father." Let's pray. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being the enduring hope, for seeing us through the dark times and bringing us into the good times. Please bless the reading of your word and bless this sermon as you speak through me today. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Building an enduring hope. The first thing that we have to understand about an enduring hope is this. Is that it is only in Jesus that our hope is assured. Let me say that again. It is only in Jesus that our hope is secure. We can look everywhere else. In fact, I spent a lot of my time trying to look for what made sense, what gave me the hope, having grown up in church, but I had not accepted it myself. I started going out, running around with my friends. We used to go do all kinds of things, looking for something that would give me, make me complete, and I could not find it in everything that I tried. There is a philosopher that says, a theologian that says that when we are born, we are created with a God-shaped vacuum in our soul. And everything that we try to fill that does not completely fill that vacuum. Because it is a God-shaped vacuum. And the only thing that can fill that is God. And until we realize that, we're always going to have emptiness within our lives. No matter what we try. In the second part of verse 3, look what it says, steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The faith, the labor, and the hope were all based on Jesus Christ. That was the object of their hope and their faith and their labor. That was the object of it. But it was also the source of it. Jesus Christ not only is our object of hope, but he is our source of hope. And hope that is built on anything other than God will always be a disappointment. How do I know that? For one thing, that's what the Bible teaches. But the second thing, is that I had to prove it to myself in my own life. Everything I tried, everything, while it may have been fun while it was going on, that fun quickly faded. And the disappointment and emptiness came back bigger than it ever was before. Everybody knows Larry Ledbetter's testimony. And I hope I don't embarrass you, Larry. But he will share his testimony to anybody that asks. Larry, that first trip we went on to, that I went on with you guys out to the Outer Banks, and we were at that bike rally, and that big old biker came up to you and you were talking to. That man wouldn't talk to me. Of course, I was in a polo shirt and jeans. But he was talking to Larry. Larry with his long hair and his vest and his tattoos. And that man started talking to Larry. He said, "Hey, let's go get a drink." Larry says, "I don't drink." He said, "I spent how many years drinking and being high?" 35 years. And he had been sober for what, 17 or 18 at that time? And he says, "The way I see it, I've got 17 more years just to get even." But he sat there talking to that man, and he shared with that man how he became sober and what healed him up so that he didn't have to keep going looking at the drugs and the alcohol and everything else to make him feel whole. And that was Jesus Christ. And you know, here is this big, burly man, biker. And when they left, when they parted ways, Larry and that man hugged. And that big, burly biker had tears running down his face, anyway. That is the hope found in Jesus Christ. That is the hope that will not fail, that will not disappoint. Well, you may say, "Well, Artie, that's all great and good. But how do we build that hope in a world, in a society that seems to just eat hope alive?" Well, I want to tell you, there's three steps of building this enduring hope. and have a strength and hope within your own mind. The first is you build enduring hope by shifting your focus. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2 says this, "Therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses and surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Enduring the race, focusing on what is before us. You know, when you read in the Gospels and you read about how the disciples were all in the boat, Jesus sent them ahead to the other side. He said, "I'll catch up to you later." And they get out there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and this big storm comes out of nowhere and starts tossing them to and fro. And then if the storm wasn't bad enough, they look out there and see somebody walking across the lake. They're terrified. But then the figure that they see walking speaks. And he says, "Don't be afraid, because it's me. It's Jesus." And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, let me come to you. Let me walk out there in the water with you." And as Jesus say, "No, Peter, you stay right where you are, where it's safe." Is that what he tells him? What does he say? Come on. So Peter climbed down out of that boat and started walking toward Jesus. As long as his focus was on Jesus, he was looking dead at him, and he was walking on the water. Only the second human being to ever do so. But then, what happens to Peter? He loses focus. He starts looking at all the stuff going on around him. He starts looking at those waves hitting him in the ankles and in the shins. And he starts seeing the white tops of those waves coming. And he starts listening to the wind. And he starts paying attention to the storm that's encircling him. And he loses focus from Jesus Christ. Then what happens to Peter? What happens to Peter? He starts sinking. But Peter knew where his source of hope was. Because what did he do next? The Bible says he cried out to Jesus. And then what did Jesus do? He reached down, grabbed him by the hand, and picked him up. The next day it tells us that they're back at the boat. How did they get there? Peter walked hand in hand with Jesus back to that boat. You know, I was listening to Charles Stanley today, this morning, and he was talking about where Jesus says that, "My yoke is, take upon you my yoke, because my yoke is easy." Well, you all know what a yoke is. He flashed up a picture of a yoke. You put that yoke over top of the back, the neck of a pair of ox, and you strap them in there, and that one animal now becomes two, and they pull in unison and get twice as much work done. Well, Jesus says, "My yoke is easy." Well, the thing about a yoke is that it takes two people to fill a yoke, doesn't it? Two animals will fill a yoke. You put that yoke, Jesus' yoke, on one on your neck. Who's in the other part of it? Jesus. So just like Peter, we walk side by side with Jesus. And what we have to deal with becomes so much easier because we're not dealing with it alone. ever. But Jesus is always right by our side, pulling and tugging and getting through it with us the entire time. That is where our focus needs to be, on Jesus Christ. That is how we build enduring hope. The first step is shifting our focus to our issues, to our circumstances, to our, from our problems, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. When I start paying attention to what's going around, there were several times this past 2 weeks that I got really stressed. And I was at the brink of losing it on several different occasions. But then something would happen to bring my focus back to where it needed to be. Whether it be my dad saying, hey, come watch this. He loved watching Gaither videos on YouTube. He would sit and watch those on YouTube all day long. And he would sit there and tell me, he'd say, you know who that is? I have no idea who that is. I see Bill Gaither and I see Mark Lowry. And he said, well, this is so-and-so. I have no clue who they were. But I'm going to tell you something. They were sitting there singing praises to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And just like that, my focus was back on where it needed to be. First step. To build enduring hope, you have to do it through consistent prayer. Consistent prayer. You think about this. I've got many couples, husbands and wives, sitting here. How did you grow in your relationship? By just sitting across the table at each other, staring with those. Is that how you grew those relationships? No, that's not how you grew those relationships. That's not how you got to know each other better. How did you do it? Come on, you can talk through those masks. I heard you laugh, so I know you can talk. How did you build those relationships? You had to work hard for it. Huh? Put fear in him. You had to talk, didn't you? You had to share good and bad. You had to communicate. And sometimes communication can be good and sometimes it can be bad. Sometimes in a relationship you have what I like to call intense fellowship. That means somebody slamming the door is getting locked behind them. Okay? That's communication. And you know what? Consistent prayer. It's honest communication with God. It's not just telling Him what we want or what we need. But it's also taking the time to listen to what He's saying to us. And that's the part of prayer sometimes that we forget. We think prayer is always us talking. No, prayer is not always us talking. Prayer is communication. It is building a relationship between us and God. And we have to take the time to be quiet and listen to what He has to say back to us. But look at this. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 15 through 18. It says this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Or thank, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Pray without ceasing. And you may be thinking, how in the world can I pray without ceasing? I can't continually just pray. But it's being in the attitude of prayer. It doesn't mean that you have to just sit there 24 hours a day locked up in your prayer closet, on your knees before God. That's not what he's talking about. But you know what? Sometimes when I'm out on my yard, I catch myself just talking to God. If I'm driving down the road, I find myself singing a praise song. And I can't tell you how many times God has spoke back to me during those times. And it wasn't an intentional time that I set aside to be praying. It was just something that naturally happened. And I'm also going to tell you that there's been a few times that I have literally, it may as well have been an audible voice. It was so clear. One time I was sitting out in the middle of the woods in a tree stand. Right after I just shot a deer. I'd been praying, asking God for something to show, to make it clear to me what he wanted me to do. And something happened. I didn't like what happened, and I was mad. And it was almost a clear audible voice, God saying, "Why are you mad? You asked me to make it so clear to you that you couldn't deny it. What more could I have done?" You know what? I wasn't mad anymore. And then another time I was praying about one of my kids. And I was walking out of the snack shop, walking down the sidewalk, and I was almost in tears, just praying. And Jesus spoke to me and said, "Now you know how I feel every day." And that just crushed me. But we have to listen. We have to pray consistently. God can and will answer our prayers, but we must learn to diligently seek him. Diligently. That doesn't mean you just try one time and give up. That means that you constantly go to him, seeking him. And you know what? The goal is, those of you that have been married for a long time, I find Ginger and I doing this a lot of times. We'll look at each other and we'll say the exact same thing. It's scary sometimes. Or we'll be watching out something on TV or hear something on the radio. We'll both say the exact same thing. We'll just look at each other and laugh. Or I'll say something and she says, "I knew you were going to say that." Or she'll say something and I said, "Yeah, I was waiting for you to say that." That's the type of relationship that we need to have with Jesus Christ and with God. The point where we know, before we even ask him, what the answer is going to be. Or that we know what his will is, because we know him so well. That's how you build enduring hope. That you know your Savior so well, that you know that he's never going to give up on you, and he's never going to quit, and he's never going to let you fall. That he's always going to have you, even in the middle of the pain and the hurt and the suffering, Jesus has you. I know you guys have seen it. You've seen the church signs and the billboard that says, "Don't worry, I've got this, God." I'm going to tell you something. God's got this. We may not understand what he's doing. We might not even like what he's doing. But you know what? We don't have to. That's not our responsibility to like what God's doing. We couldn't change it if we didn't like it. Because you know what? We are who we are, and God is God. We build enduring hope with accountability and support. This is where we come in. Notice where it starts. It starts by focusing on Jesus Christ. It grows through consistent prayer to God and Jesus Christ. But then we also have to have the accountability and support. Acts 1:14 says this. This is about the early church. It says, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. They were continually devoting themselves together in one group. And then Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. That doesn't mean we take the responsibility off of somebody else's shoulders, but we go alongside them and help them bear the load. In fact, it says a few verses later that everybody is responsible for their own burdens. But when Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, part of that is helping them with what's causing their problems. We can't take away their responsibility, but we can help them get through. And that's the command of Christ. And that's the support and the accountability that helps us grow in enduring hope. Because we constantly remind each other that we need to be focused on Christ. That we need to seek His forgiveness. We need to seek His power. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and work in us. And that's the reason why we gather together as a church, a body of believers, to worship. It isn't because God gets, yes, He gets the glory for it, but He doesn't need us to do this to be God, does He? We need this because it helps refocus us on where we need to be focused in the first place. And you know, isn't it the whole thing about the yoke? Isn't it a lot easier when there's a group of us together than it is when it's only one person? Let me tell you, these past 2 weeks was difficult. But getting messages from individuals in this church telling me that they love me and they were praying for me and my parents helped tremendously. And I'm sure Maria can tell you the same thing. In fact, when I called her after I found out about Don, and I called Sharon, they both told me the same thing. They said, our church is doing a good job taking care of us. And they said, you stay where you are because your dad needs you. So I know that the support of the church is so important. There have been times that I have felt defeated. And at the brink of just giving up, and somebody in this church has said something to me, not even knowing what I was going through or what I was dealing with. But they would just come up and say, hey, I'm praying for you. It meant the world of difference. It made so much difference to me. But there is comfort in knowing that we are not alone. In church, in our society today, there are too many people that feel like they're alone. There are too many people that feel that there is no hope. There is too many people filled with hatred because somebody doesn't agree with them. Church, we know the source of hope. We know the source of healing. And we know the answer to their problems. But we don't live like we know that we have the answers to those problems. Church, we need to start living our lives like we have enduring hope. We need to start living our lives in such a way that it tells people that we are His disciples. And that God is alive and well. And He is the answer to what this world is going through right now. So again, I ask you as we end today, how are you going to respond, church? How are you going to live as you have in your life? Stay focused, stay prayed up, and support each other. That's how you're going to do it. Let's pray. The blessed Heavenly Father, we come before you once again, thanking you for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you for those that are gathered together and those that are watching online. Dear Lord, you are alive and well. We ask you as we go from this place this morning that we will go trusting in the Holy Spirit to guide us. That we will go with the power that we get through the Holy Spirit to live our lives in such a way that it draws all men to you. And we ask you that you find us faithful in all of this. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.